chapter 5 and verse 8 says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What would it take for you to believe? Or what would it take for you to think that God has stopped loving you? What would it take in your mind? What would it take in your life for you to honestly believe that God has stopped loving me? Read an article this last week. Actually, I was a bulletin that Jack and Sue gave me last week. It got me to thinking about that. What can we do in our life, or what can we not do in our life? How far can we go in our life where we would honestly believe that God doesn't love us? I used a verse this morning in my sermon, John 3 and verse 16, talks about God's love. What I just read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 talks about God's love for us. Then you have to go to Luke chapter 15, I think, and that whole chapter, there's three different stories in Luke chapter 15. Three stories about three lost things. Number one, there is a lost coin. And if you look at that chapter, in the very last verse of talking about that, it talks about the rejoicing that there is in heaven. One that is lost is found. Whether it's the coin, or whether it's the sheep, or whether it's the prodigal son, in all three of those stories, it refers back to heaven. It refers back to our Father in heaven. And it talks about how, paraphrasing here, it talks about how happy he is, the rejoicing in heaven, when someone who is lost, someone who is walked away from God, when they come back to God. So what would it take for you to believe that God has stopped loving you? Is there anything? Is there anything that you can think of that you can do where you would say God has stopped loving me? This morning in our class in the back, we talked about Jesus, and we talked about imitating Christ, and we talked about Jesus on the cross, and two great things that happened when Jesus was on the cross. Number one, one of the two that was on both sides of him acknowledged Jesus, and Jesus was dying for him. He was guilty. Jesus was not. He asked him to remember him, and Jesus said that he would. Then the other thing that happened while he was on the cross, Jesus looked down at all of those standing down there and said, "Father, forgive them." What is it in your mind? Have you got it yet? Is there something that you can go to in your mind and you say, "God has stopped loving me"? I don't believe you can go there. I thought about this as I read this article this week. I don't believe we can go there in our mind, honestly, and say, this is where I can go, this is the point that I can go, where I can look back and say, I've gone too far, or to say, God doesn't love me anymore, because God continues to love us. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Look at verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. It's heaven. Telling us that God is wanting us to come back to him. God is wanting us to dedicate or rededicate our life, however often we have to dedicate or rededicate our life to him. And in the same way, when we need repentance, that we go to God and pray. Jay for a minute. Jay was always the hardest child in the world to spank. He was like trying to whoop a squirrel. And it was impossible. And I remember one time he told a story. And I called him in. And I pulled him in there and I said, "Son, I'm going to spank you. We're not going to be telling stories." I'll never forget the look on his face. He was crying, begging, pleading, said he knows. "I'm so sorry." And I said, "I am too, and I'm still going to spank you." He said, "But I love you." In this building right here, I picked him up, cleared him over a few, and went to the back. Time we got them doors, he was hollering, "No day, no day. I love you, I love you." You know, it's sweet when we hear someone say, "I'm sorry, I love you." I can only imagine how God feels when we go to God and say, "I'm sorry. I love you." Should we not be like Jay, like Eli, whoever he may be, that when we're begging for mercy, we're saying, "Please, please, I love you, I love you"? Really how we ought to be with God. Because God is longing and wanting for us to come back. And I can see that we need to be that same way toward him, humble. "Please forgive me. I know I made a mistake. And I'm sorry." Look at verse 7 again. "Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents." When we turn back to God, there's joy there. I'm going to read an article with you tonight before I close. Come out of the Martin Bulletin and says, "The story is told of an old man who lived on a farm in the mountains of eastern Kentucky with his young grandson. Each morning, Grandpa was up early, sitting at the kitchen table. He was reading from his old worn-out Bible. His grandson, who wanted to be just like him, tried to imitate him any way that he could. One day, the grandson asked, 'Papa, I try to read the Bible just like you, but I don't understand it. And what I do understand, I forget as soon as I close the book. What good does it do reading the Bible?' The grandfather quietly turned to put his coal in the stove and said, 'Take this coal basket down to the river and bring back a basket of water.' The boy did as he was told, even though the water leaked out before he could get back to the house. The grandfather laughed and said, 'You will have to move a little faster next time.' And he sent him back to the river with a basket to try again. This time the boy who ran faster, but again the basket was empty before he returned home. He was out of breath. He told his grandfather that it was impossible to carry water in a basket. And he went to get a bucket instead. The old man said, 'I don't want a bucket of water. I want a basket of water. You can do this. You're just not trying hard enough,' he told his grandson. And he went out the door to watch the boy try again. At this point, the boy knew it was impossible. But he wanted to show his grandfather that even if he ran as fast as he could, the water would leak out before he got far at all. The boy scooped the water and ran hard, but when he reached his grandfather, the basket was empty again. Out of breath, he said, 'See, Papa, it's useless.' 'So you think it's useless,' the old man said. 'Look at the basket.' The boy looked at the basket, and for the first time he realized that the basket looked different. Instead of a dirty old coal basket, it was clean. 'Son, that's what happens when you read the Bible. You might not understand and remember everything, but when you read it, it will change you from the inside out.' That is the work of God in story goes on, or the article goes on, to take time to read a portion of God's Word each day. Getting closer to God. Making sure that we are clean from the inside out is what that story is talking about. Sometimes in life we may think it's useless or worthless. But when we continue to ask God to forgive us, when we continue to pray and we continue to read, we will get stronger each and every day. Tonight, are you here in need of the prayers of the church? Are you here tonight and not a Christian? If you're not a Christian, I really want to encourage you to think about